Good evening. Welcome to our evening service. For tonight, I want to talk about something I really know a lot about. That is ignorance. I want to talk about ignorance. Problem of ignorance. Now, for those of you who are younger, you may not know what that fellow is doing sitting in the corner with a dunce cap on his head. But ignorance in most areas and walks of life are not considered to be advantageous. Ignorance is not something that people want to admit to or be ignorant. And certainly when it comes to our faith and our religion and our relationship with God, ignorance is a problem. It's a problem in our dealings with other people and our efforts to try to teach them. And it's a problem in our own life on occasion. And it's something the Bible says a lot about. The Bible says a lot about ignorance because of how big of a problem it is. So I just want to spend a few moments to talk about ignorance tonight. It can hurt us. Ignorance, what you don't know, can hurt you. And we all understand that. We all understand that in so many different ways. And here's just one illustration of that. If you don't know what end of the gun the bullet comes out of, then maybe you shouldn't be handling the gun. It's ignorance. So many ways that could be illustrated. If you don't know which button to push, don't be pushing any buttons. You don't know the difference between the cord that releases the parachute or the one that releases the chute harness, then maybe you're not the guy who needs to be jumping in out of an airplane. Ignorance can hurt you. Stupidity. Not knowing can hurt you. And that's certainly true when it comes to religion. We're all susceptible to ignorance. We can all be ignorant. In fact, we all are. And it's true to a large degree that we all start out ignorant. We don't know anything. And over time, we are able to learn some things, know some things, but in far too many instances and cases, the things that we learn, even those things are not exactly right. I don't know how many times I've overheard conversations that people have had about something that I know a little bit about, enough to know that what those people were saying was ignorant. They didn't know what they were talking about. But it's oh so easy to acknowledge and recognize that when you see it in other people, but it's so difficult to appreciate in yourself, and yet we are all ignorant. We all don't know certain things. And that's even true in the realm of religion, the Bible, even for those of us who have spent our lives studying the Word of God. There are things in the Word of God that I still don't know. A lot of things. And we need to realize that. Realize that we're responsible for it. Ignorance is something that we're responsible for. We say something like, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, that's also true of God's law, of God's religion. That being and remaining ignorant of God's law is itself another sin. It's not an excuse. It's just another mistake. And we need to admit it. We need to admit the possibility that we are ignorant. Perhaps some of the things that we think we know or we're wrong about. And accepting that responsibility for it to not be arrogant. To not be someone who is a know-it-all. A person is a know-it-all because he thinks he knows it all. He doesn't think he's ignorant about anything. And he holds that presumptive all-knowingness over other people. And we shouldn't be that way. We can be mistaken. We might not be right. We need to be circumspect, wise, humble. Need to check. We need to check our facts. I don't know how many articles I've read in the last month about people disputing facts. And, you know, a news source will say, this is what happened, or this person said this. And then it'll come out later that that's wrong. That's not what happened. And, you know, it's one thing in the realm of politics or news or social media to be wrong about something and to be proven to be wrong about something. It's an embarrassing thing, and it ought to be embarrassing. But when it comes to the religion of God, when it comes to what we teach in this place, the things that we believe, the faith that we espouse to our friends and neighbors, we need to check. We need to be as informed as we possibly can be and have as little ignorance as we possibly can. But always with the idea in mind, always the understanding that it's possible we're wrong. We need to find out more, check our information. I want to spend the rest of this sermon just looking at some passages. Passages like this one in Psalm 73 and verse 22. Here's a passage in which the psalmist expresses his own realization of ignorance. Psalm 73, the psalmist in the first part of the psalm talks about how he perceived the advantage of the wicked and how they seemed to just get away with everything and how their life was so much easier than that of the righteous man, and how galling that was and how infuriating that was, and that perhaps by trying to do the right thing, I've been wasting my time. But eventually the psalmist comes to his senses, and he says this. He says, then I was senseless and ignorant. The feelings and thoughts that I expressed in those moments of frustration were expressions of ignorance. I was like a beast before you. Now, if the psalmist can say that, I should be willing to say that. I should be willing to say that on occasion I've been wrong. And when I was wrong, and expressed that wrong, perhaps with passion, perhaps with a little bit of arrogance, that in that moment, in that instance, I was like a beast, a dumb animal. It's part of what makes a person righteous, is a willingness to admit wrong. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the prophet puts it this way. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. This is the Lord speaking through the prophet. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. What a damning criticism. People of God. And it's not any different today than it was those many years ago. When God's people, when God's church, when they forget the law of God, and when they grow ignorant of the Word of God, they go astray. And they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Ignorance can destroy you. Ignorance of God's word can destroy you. And don't you know that that's not an excuse? This lack of knowledge that he's talking about, rather than being an excuse that they could fall back on and say, oh, we didn't know, you know, okay, you know, we were ignorant. God says you are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Even the priest doesn't know. How could the priest not know? It's his job to know. It's his job to teach. He wasn't doing his job. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. We have an obligation to know the law of God, to know the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to impart that knowledge not only to one another, but to the generation that's coming on. We must do that, because if we don't, the people of God will be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 9. Jesus corrects some of the most educated Bible scholars of the world. He says, you don't know. Jesus answered and he said that you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Wow. To say that to the Sadducees, to the lawyers, to the leaders of the nation of Israel, to members of the Sanhedrin, the council of God, to say, you don't know. You're ignorant. What a rebuke. And if these men could be wrong and not know and not understand the scriptures, then we certainly could be capable of that. We have an obligation. We have a heavy burden, if you will. In this old dark world that we live in, with all of the ignorance of God, with all of the people that don't have a clue about what the gospel is really about, we can't fall into ignorance. We've got to know. We've got to know what the Word of God actually says. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus uses as an illustration the master who leaves a set of instructions to his servants. He goes away on a trip. He comes back. He finds them not doing what he told them to do. And some of them knew what they were supposed to do, and they get beaten severely. And some of them didn't know, but they get beaten too. Well, why would they be beaten if they didn't know? Because not knowing is not an excuse. You're supposed to find out. If you are a servant of God, you find out what God wants you to be doing, and you do that. And don't sit back and say, well, I'm not in charge. I'm not an elder. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. So, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. You have obligations. You have things to be doing. And you need to know what those things are. You need to learn the will of God. Understand, as Ephesian writer, Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. You've got to know. Luke chapter 18 and verse 34. The disciples did not understand any of this. Jesus is explaining, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be flogged. They're going to kill me. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Well, temporary ignorance is understandable. And that's why God gives us time. He gave these fellows time to learn, to grow, to come to understand what they didn't understand. But it is not a permanent, acceptable solution. You may not know now. You may not understand now, but you need to find out. You need to come to know. These men certainly did. They came to understand. They came to know. Because ignorance is not a situation that can continue and be acceptable. John 4 and verse 22, Jesus rebukes the woman at the well in Samaria. He says, you Samaritans, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Now, what she knew was what she'd been told. She'd been told her whole life that the place to worship was Mount Gerizim. She'd been told her whole life that the Samaritans had the truth and the Jews were wrong. She'd been told her whole life that the real temple was on Mount Gerizim and the one in Jerusalem was a fake. She'd been told her whole life that the only part of the law, the only part of God's scripture that was valid were the five books of Moses. That's what the Samaritans believed. That's what they still believe. There are still Samaritans still worshiping on Mount Gerizim, and still practicing the religion that she was practicing, that Jesus said, you don't know what you're doing. They're still ignorant. They still don't know. You see, it's not an excuse to say, well, this is what I was told. This is the tradition that was handed down to me. This is the way all of my people, this is the way that my family worships. It's not acceptable. It's not. John chapter 7, verses 41 and 42. This is fascinating to me, this exchange between the crowd who were listening to Jesus. And some of them are very impressed with Jesus, and they said, this must be the Christ. Look at the miracles he's doing. Look at his teaching. Look, this man is, he must be the Christ. But some said, it says here in John 7:41, some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and Bethlehem, the village where David was? And they wouldn't believe in him. Now here's the problem of partial knowledge. What they knew was partially correct. Their understanding of the scriptures was correct. The Messiah, according to the prophecy, was supposed to be from Bethlehem, the city that David was from. Absolutely right about that. But they had heard that Jesus was from Galilee. And even that was partially true because he had grown up in Galilee and had lived in Galilee and had begun his ministry in Galilee. But the part of the story that they didn't know, that they were ignorant of, was that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem and that he had fulfilled the prophecy. But they didn't know that. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that there are people who were lost who did not embrace Jesus because they didn't know this detail? It would seem to be the case. Now, that kind of thing is easily checkable, right? You know, couldn't somebody have asked and said, hey, wait a minute, hey, one of his disciples, pull him aside and say, I thought Jesus was from Galilee. And they would put him straight. And they would say, well, yeah, he grew up there, but, you know, he actually was born in Bethlehem. I didn't know that. I'm sure there were people who did not bother to check that, to find that out. They had made up their mind. They said, oh, no, he can't be the Messiah. He can't be the Christ. He's not from Bethlehem. I know where he's from. He's from Galilee. Ignorant. You know, there are people today who are just as ignorant about some details of the gospel, of the scripture, that are so easily checked. Oh, you know, you think about all the resources that we have, the searchable databases that we have online, the Bible study tools. And they've been told something, and they've accepted something, and it's completely factually untrue. And they don't bother checking. See, that's the kind of thing that makes you culpable. Acts chapter 7, verse 23. Paul says in Athens, he says, for as I walked around and looked carefully at objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. Now, for an itinerant preacher of some kind from the East, from Israel, from Jerusalem, or from whatever, a Jew, to march into Athens, to the very heart of the ancient world's scholastic academies, the very cream of education, the philosophical schools of Athens, and the very body of men, the Areopagus, whose responsibility it was to assess and to judge the validity or the acceptability of new teaching. And these were the guys. These were the guys who were the most educated, the most knowledgeable, in worldly terms. And for Paul to come in there and says, you don't know what you're doing. You're ignorant. And I'm going to put you straight. And these temples that you build are folly. And the idols that you fill them with, they are ignorant. For him to say that is incredible. It's the kind of thing that, you know, people would get into these tweeting fights about back and forth, you know, all of these audacious and outlandish claims. People are, they could be so bold when they're anonymous. But for Paul to say that, and yet he's right. What they worshiped in ignorance. They didn't know what they were doing. What they were doing was wrong. It was instead of drawing them closer to the divine, it was driving them further and further away from the divine. And yet, they didn't, they were ignorant. But Paul says, now that I've put you straight in verse 30, although God overlooked the ignorance of earlier times, he now commands all men everywhere to repent. That kind of ignorance is unacceptable. You cannot continue in that ignorance. And there are millions, billions, billions of idol worshipers today in this world. And what they're doing is wrong. It's an affront to God. It's ignorant. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I mean it in hopefully a way that is informative and accurate. It is according to the scriptures. What this ignorance of earlier times, God says that can't, that I'm not going to accept that. You got to repent. That's the struggle, you see. If you want to continue in your ignorance, then you have to ignore. You have to ignore God's word, ignore God's will. And that makes you culpable. That makes you responsible. That makes you guilty. God says you cannot continue in your ignorance. You cannot continue to ignore my will. You must repent. The truth, knowledge, forces us. When you learn, when you become knowledgeable about what God wants, then you have to change. Acts chapter 19, verse 22. The assembly was in confusion. This is where Paul is being assaulted and attacked in Ephesus by a mob. A mob had come together and some charges had been made. False charges had been made. Outlandish charges had been made. Some of the charges were true. Some of them weren't true. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. That sounds like the internet. People, the embodiment of ignorance. Well, if you're going to get all stirred up by a mob, by a crowd, by a mass of disturbance, then you need to stop and slow down and say, oh, wait a second. What is this actually about? What are the real facts? What is really going on? Practice some pursuit of truth and intelligence and knowledge. Don't be like a mob given over to ignorance. Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 3. Paul, in talking about his own people, the Jews, he says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see, zeal, passion, conviction is not a substitute for knowledge. Now, zeal is good. Passion is good, and conviction is good, but passion and conviction and zeal in the midst of ignorance is destructive and unhelpful and unproductive, counterproductive even. People may be zealous in their religion, doesn't make them right. You got to learn the facts. You got to learn the truth of God, the truth that God would have you to know. And when you know the truth, then your zeal is well placed. And you are well served by it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding. Paul says of the Gentiles. He says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. So see there that the ignorance, it may have been an innocent ignorance. It may have been the fact that they were misinformed or not told the truth. But it doesn't stay innocent. Culpable. And then you get hardened in your ignorance. And when the facts begin to contradict what you think, but you stick with what you think, become hardened in your ignorance, then there's no hope for you. What's going to set you straight? If the facts won't set you straight, if the truth of God won't set you straight, what's going to be your salvation? 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul said, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. You see, this passage shows two or three things. That God does give people time, and he does give people an opportunity to change, to learn, to come to know the truth, to get their facts straight. He gives them time. He shows them mercy. He gives them an opportunity. But they must avail themselves of it, as Paul did. When Paul learned the truth, he was convicted by the truth. When Paul learned the facts, he knew he had been wrong. And as passionate and as convicted and as zealous as he had been in his ignorance, he turned out to be just as passionate and convicted and zealous in his knowledge of the truth. And that's what we need to be. That's what we need to do. We need to learn the truth and change. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. There are some things in them, Peter says about Paul's writings. There are some things in them which are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures, the rest of the scriptures. It's true that some things in the Bible are difficult and challenging, but that's no excuse. No excuse. And there are many people who take those scriptures and they twist them around and they make them say things that they don't say. I could be guilty of that. I must be cognizant of the possibility, of the susceptibility that we all have to doing that. Therefore, we must be careful. We must be oh so careful to study context, to study all of the scriptures together, to apply them consistently, to use the principles of hermeneutics, to see who these things were written to, what they're talking about, not take scriptures out of context, not misapply them. It's so important that we do that, because if we don't, then we are ignorant, and we are unstable, and we distort the scriptures, and we are guilty, and we will not escape destruction. And that is true of so many people. It cannot, must not be true of us. So here is the lesson again. Ignorance, it can hurt us. We're all susceptible to it. We're responsible for it. We need to admit the possibility. We need to be less arrogant, and we need to check our facts, because ignorance can be a problem. All right, well, that's my lesson. There are so many things I don't know. But here's one thing I do know. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And he wants you to be saved. God wants you to be saved in Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you need to confess your faith in him. And you need to repent. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because that's what the scriptures say. And if you're willing to accept that truth tonight, we ask you to come forward and say so as we stand and sing.
supper this evening, please turn to